All right, Rob Dibble join us now. Rob, thanks a lot for taking the time this morning to talk to us. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Kerry.
Not a problem. So, yeah, we got baseball about to start up. You excited for the season?
Oh, most definitely. Every year you get kind of that itch around this time, which is spring training. You got the WBC going on right now, which is guys already playing Major League Baseball from around the world at the highest level. And then you got the other teams that, if you've watched the Reds and a lot of these other teams are playing these WBC teams to get them ready for their start.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, since you mentioned the World Baseball Classic, what's your take on the whole formation of the World Baseball Classic and how it's implemented? I know some players aren't the biggest fans. As a former player, how do you think it impacts Major League Baseball and your overall thoughts on the tournament?
Well, a lot of these guys, let's just take the best players. You can go back a few years, and it's once every 4 years, so it's not like it's every spring. And I think it's amazing. And for the scouts, they get to see some of the best players in the world up close and personal instead of trying to go to each country and track some of these players down. Daisuke Matsuzaka, who was an MVP of one of these WBCs, ultimately, $100 million later, he's on the Boston Red Sox and helping them win a world championship. So the bottom line is for me, as a former player, is being noticed, getting an opportunity. And a lot of these players are getting that exposure worldwide and, representing their countries, which the players and having played in Puerto Rico three different winters is huge for them. So just having an opportunity to be seen, play against Major League talent opens doors for them, and it's also an opportunity for teams to try and catch on and grab the best players from the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, definitely. Even current Red Aroldis Chapman kind of made a splash in the World Baseball Classic. So, speaking of Chapman, as a former closer, former bullpen guy, what are your thoughts on Chapman moving to the rotation? You think it's a wise move or a mistake by the Reds?
If they didn't think he could do it, let me just say this. I mean, I love Walt Jocketty and Dusty and the Kathleen's, what they're doing, A, and with the Reds and in Cincinnati. And B, if they didn't think he was capable of doing it and it would affect his career, they wouldn't even think about it. So it's a comfort zone. You put Aroldis Chapman in the best situation to help the Reds. Having played with Norm Charlton and roomed with Norm Charlton, the reliever mentality versus the starter mentality, very few guys can do both. And I think Aroldis can do anything he wants to. I love the kid. He's as hard-nosed and as stubborn as any pitcher you could ever imagine, myself included. And so I think that, starting pitching is a premium. Guys can barely go 6-7 innings. This guy could pitch all day. And he was brought up as a starter, and most guys want to start. Not many guys want to go to the bullpen. That was the only way I was going to get to the major leagues. For this guy, his route could have been through the starting rotation. So for me, they're just trying to put him in a situation to succeed.
Sure. So you think, you mentioned the mentality. You think that's the biggest challenge to moving to the rotation as opposed to, the mechanics or the, repertoire of pitches? You think more than anything the mentality is what the difficulties he'll face?
Yeah, because the mentality is if you're closing or you're pitching maybe, say, the last six outs, that's only a certain amount of pitches. If you're trying to get 21, 24, 27 outs, you've got to kind of put a little governor on you. You got to pace yourself. My first couple of years in the minor league, I was a starter. That's a different deal. And then good outing, bad outing, you still got a number of days in between to wait for your next opportunity. As a reliever, if you have a bad one, you come right back the next day, you have a good one, it washes it right out of your head, and you're able to move forward. So, starting, your appearances are limited. As a reliever, it's kind of unlimited, and you feel more like an everyday player. So for me, I enjoyed relieving because I felt I'm going to pitch every day. I'm going to be in there every day. So that was more fun for me.
easier to wipe the slate. So yeah, give us an idea of what you're up to these days. I know you're still doing the Fox Sports Tonight and XM Radio stuff, correct?
Yeah, and got an opportunity to work with the people from George Dickel Whiskey and Tom Beers, and if that name rings a bell, he's the mastermind behind Deadliest Catch and Storage Wars, to name a few of his hits. And, you know, they wanted to put together this very cool thing called Raising the Bar, and it was filmed in October last year at the American Royal World Series of Barbecue in Kansas City, and it was essentially six teams of master craftsmen where we gave them 8 hours to, you know, build the ultimate bar, handmade the hard way, just like George Dickel Whiskey. You know, if you go back over 100 years, it's 25 people have been making their whiskey. They were our sponsor. And so everything had to be done the same way. And you know, I was just given the opportunity to host the event. It was fabulous. And you just got, if you can go to Hulu and check it out, that's the, there's going to be six episodes, and one's already been running, and it's been doing very well.
Yeah, I saw a preview. It looks like some pretty intense craftsmen going on. I mean, those guys know what they're doing. Are you you a craftsman yourself? Do you ever do any building, stuff like that?
No, I just usually build a mess. So I can appreciate people that are great with their hands, that have the patience, like in the first episode, to weld 4,000 washers together, and then to put mechanical things together that work with hydraulics. And, you know, in some of the coming episodes, guys are working with robotics and robotic arms and all kinds of stuff. And, no, I'm not that good at building stuff. So I just had to put together my – I have a 2-year-old daughter, and I put together her little house in the backyard. And it took me probably 3-4 hours. So to see, you know, these guys build amazing structures and these bars just the way George Dickel has done their whiskey for, you know, over 100 years, it was a great partnership. And then Tom Beers and his people from, you know, Original Productions, which I've become friends with, that go out and shoot the Deadliest Catch and the Storage Wars and stuff like that. When you see the way it's shot, it's amazing. So it was so much hard work that went into this project, and you see now what they've done. I think it was 90 hours of film that they had to cut down to these six small episodes.
Wow. Yeah, so it's called Raising the Bar, and we can catch it on Hulu, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, great. Yeah, we're definitely going to check that out. So, yeah, transition back to baseball real quick. You think this is the best Reds team you've seen since – well, the 90s team that you were part of, I mean, a lot of expectations. Do you think the hype is warranted?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, they were so close last year. I thought they were going to go all the way to the World Series last year. Ultimately, the team that takes you out wins the World Series. You know, it's a bitter taste, I'm sure, for them. You know, from the Castellinis to Walt Jocky to Dusty Baker, first of all, you've got people in the leadership roles that are amazing, that I have the most ultimate respect for. And then to go out and get like a Shin Soo-Chu, throw him into the mix, along with Jay Bruce, who every year evolves into a better player, Joey Votto, who's already been an MVP, Fraser gets a chance to play every day, Brandon Phillips comes back, it's a long-term deal, and he's going to be the mainstay guy, not only in the clubhouse, but on the field. Throwing that mix together, it's really going to come down to the pitching, and they've got plenty of it. They've got guys, if you can keep them healthy. Was a huge fan of the Latos deal. Great kid. I saw him pitch because I live in L.A. Saw him pitch with the Padres, and you throw Homer Bailey has now developed in one of the more, you know, outstanding young starters in the business. It took him a while, but you know what? When you throw a guy in the major leagues, essentially as a teenager, it's going to take you a little bit, kind of like a Zach Greinke. And I liken Homer Bailey to Greinke, where this guy could throw all day. And I could see Homer Bailey winning 18 to 22 games this year if he can just stay consistent.
Definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of forget how young Bailey is because he's been around so long. Like you said, you debut as a young guy, people forget how young you are. Well, yeah, that's great. As far as the 90s Reds and last year's bullpen, you know, a lot of fans wanted to kind of make that comparison, you know, since the, with Chapman and the addition of Broxton, you know, you had Sean Marshall back there. Obviously, they didn't have necessarily the three-headed monster you guys were dealing with, but did you see any similarities at all between the two bullpens from last year and the team you were on?
Oh, goodness gracious. First of all, Broxton, I watched him for many years throw 100 miles an hour up here for the Dodgers.
Right.
Big, strong kid. And Sean Marshall, very crafty, very good, can be a starter, can be a reliever, very reminiscent of Randy Myers and Norm Charlton and their mentality where, you know, they were a different breed for me. I was just pitching with my hair on fire.
Right.
And Aroldis Chapman is probably reminiscent of the way I was, stubborn, mean, nasty, enjoyed the one-on-one competition. So, right. They were every bit as good as the Nasty Boys. I mean, you need the whole team though. The whole team, it's just 1 through 25. You got to get lucky. You know, there's going to be ups and downs throughout the season and hopefully when they're in the postseason this year, you know, the ball kind of bounces their way, so to speak, to where they're put in a situation to succeed. But now with Chapman in the rotation, they're still every bit as filthy as we were. I saw the Arredondo pitch for a while out here in L.A., and this kid's very capable as well of stepping right in there and filling Chapman's role. And you know, it's the final 9 outs of any game are the most difficult. I learned that by working with Kevin Kennedy for many years. And the Reds have all the pieces, and it's just a question of do they work together? Can they stay healthy? That's what you have to wait and see. And that's the fun of baseball is watching it all unfold.
All right. Well, Rob, I know you got a lot going on. You're a busy guy. So Raising the Bar on Hulu, we'll make sure to check that out. And any final thoughts on the coming season, World Baseball Classic, Reds or otherwise?
And go back to the project, please, you know, check it out on Hulu. But, you know, the upcoming season's already upon us. The World Baseball Classic's going on right now. The teams, the Major League teams are playing the World Baseball Classic, Canada and Team USA already. And so they get to kind of measure themselves against some of these all-star teams. So it's, you know, it's an amazing time of year, especially for baseball.
No doubt. Well, Rob, we can't thank you enough for taking some time today. We appreciate it. Want everyone to check out Raising the Bar on Hulu, and have a great day, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Terry. You take care.
All right. Take care.